So I'm coming to you today from the Botanical Gardens in Kuala Lumpur. I thought this morning, rather than do my hour on the treadmill uphill cardio, I just thought my legs need a bit of a rest. So I'm gonna go for a 10 mile walk. That's much easier. So I walked all the way here from Bukit Bintang, and here we are. It's about 11 o'clock in the morning. I've already done about 5 miles today. And I'm just enjoying being able to spend a bit of time exploring the place rather than having to, say, you know, get shuttled off to an office somewhere. I'm going to be doing work today, that's for sure. I'm going to be doing a bit of work later, but when I do, it will be short, sharp and efficient. One thing that I have had in my mind is just a conversation I had in the bar a couple of nights ago. This guy I got chatting to, really interesting dude. He's an IT professional working for a Spanish IT company over here and looking after sales, from what I could gather, in the Asian region, at least the Southeast Asian region. And we were kind of confiding in each other in a way, saying that the whole 9-to-5 thing isn't for us. Unfortunately for him, he's still in it, but that he doesn't understand necessarily why people are spending money so frivolously. And at the same time, he was actually telling me a story of how, when he was in a far more expensive location, when he was back in London, he was out with a group of investment banker mates, and they wanted to go into this really exclusive club. I think it was called the Funky Buddha or something like that in Berkeley Square, for those that know London. And it was £1,500 to enter the club. And when the night progressed to this point, I can only imagine they've probably already been spending quite a lot of money on booze by this point. At this point he goes, I'm a mere corporate sales guy, chaps. I'm not going in, sorry, I'm going home. And they're like, no, come on, we'll pay for your entrance, we'll get you in. So they pay between them the extra 1500 quid to get him into the club. And having been in there for a while, just seen a gigantic centipede crawling all over my umbrella. But remember that if I ever need to use it later. When it comes down to his round, he actually offers to buy them a round of shots. 10 shots. And this tray of shots comes out. That'll be £500, please, sir. 50 quid a shot. And he's thinking, okay, it's the least I can do for these guys, having just got me into the place. Jesus Christ, talk about social normalization, talk about peer pressure. So anyway, obviously he didn't really want to do it, but he did it anyway. And just this whole charade, this whole like comic strip of these guys going to this place and spending 1500 quid to get in and just insane amounts on drinks. And you kind of think, okay, well done, you know, you got a lot, you got that kind of money, that whether or not that's a justifiable use of your money, the fact you can even do that. Some people don't even have 1500 quid to their name. I do, but I would not spend it on an entrance to a club. Could I, though? Could I buy an entrance to that club? Well, yes, of course. Would it be a smart thing for me to do? No. Would it be a justifiable use of my money? No. Now, there's 2 points, obviously, that emanate out of this. And the first is that the more money you make, there's always going to be someone there willing to take it off you to sell you the same thing for a much, much higher price. £50 for a shot that costs £5 in other bars that cost 50p to probably make. So first of all, it's like building roads. When you build a road, cars start filling up. When you start making money, when you start building the road of finance, well, guess what? Cars are going to come along and start trying to take that money, essentially having equivalently almost the same lifestyle, but for much more money. And it's not just the same products being sold at higher price, of course. It is different products. You know, there's prestige luxury products, which, fine, great. You know, I would love a yacht as much as the next guy. One day, if it seems justifiable and if I have the money and it seems like a viable thing for me to do, then great, I'll buy one. But like, think about something like a really prestige car, like a Bentley, something that costs £250,000, let's say. How much money would you have to be making in order to make that a justifiable purchase in terms of maximizing your personal well-being and utility? How much money would you have to make? Because I mean, I used to know a guy from my gym who, he told me, you know, he doesn't make that much money, he's a mechanic, but he's driving around his brand new BMW, and I'm thinking, like, how much of your personal income are you spending on that car? Now, it's not for me to say that that's right or wrong. I'm just merely commenting on, as a proportion of your income, how much are you spending, and is it worth questioning? So, of course, the other point that comes out of this is that I think there's this widespread assertion that just as we shouldn't judge people for who they are, their behaviour, that we simply cannot criticise the use of their funds. And yet simultaneously, I know from my own personal experience that I spent years spending my money very badly on things that were not maximising my personal well-being. And so, yes, it's not easy for me or you or anyone to judge how other people might spend their money, but absolutely we know for a fact that not everyone is using their money efficiently. And yet at the same time, helping people reflect and figure this out for themselves, because likewise we can't really judge, but at the same time we're also not probably the best people to help them, outside of saying, are you sure you are using your money in the right way in terms of maximizing your own well-being, really? I mean, I know that there was one point when I was, you know, £80 bottle of wine, like, why the hell not? What else am I going to spend it on? And the same thing can be said about time. We've talked about money, let's now talk about time. We assume we can't judge others' use of money, and likewise that we can't judge others' use of time. And yet, helping people better spend their money and their time is one of the single biggest levers we could possibly pull for improving the well-being of the world, the people around us. We're at a very critical time, very interesting time, because historically, you spend X amount of time per week, everyone does the same thing, that's how you make your money, that's it, it's done. Whether that, you know, Victorian ages, it was around 90 hours a week. Now, the average might be around 40 hours a week for a typical 9-to-5 job. But of course, that's changing. Anyone who chose to cut their own path in the past always had that benefit as well. Now, many of them are even bigger workaholics than those who work for other people. I think in some sense, only those kind of people, it's a bit of a selection bias going on there, only those kinds of people are probably the ones that end up going working for themselves anyway, largely because of the size of the opportunity. But especially with the way technology is going, the application of automation, like literally as I'm recording this video right now, I'm selling products at Amazon, I'm making money, they're being shipped out. I don't need to be there to pitch the product, to sell the product, or to ship the product. And yet the money is just being paid into the bank account every 2 weeks. It's being paid into the Amazon account, and every 2 weeks we get a disbursement. And the point is, the work's been done. It's like building a house. We've built that product, we've built that bit of digital property, and now it sits there creating value indefinitely. Same thing can be said about this video. I only have to do this video once, and then any number of people can watch it. So no longer do we actually need to trade our time for money anymore. So the whole 40-hour week thing also seems kind of redundant now. When we spend our time on investing and making money, or building the means to make money, as opposed to simply trading our time for money, that's really where all the good things really start to happen. I think it was Warren Buffett that said, unless you figure out a way to make money whilst you sleep, you'll be working until the day you die. So, very simple call to action. Simple in how it sounds, but it's absolutely a very complex, perhaps, and detailed task worth pursuing, which is to look at your use of money and time in the context of what we're doing today, of the fact that you don't need to go and work for someone else, you don't need to spend 40 hours a week at work. How efficiently are you spending that money? Are you falling for this Robin Hood trap of simply the more money you make, the more things there are to spend it on? Are you actually increasing your personal well-being through that process? Because I bet you anything, those guys aren't. It's a distraction. We miss what's actually really important. Money, 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 build, 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 fill our external world with more and more stuff. We never actually come face to face with the thing we really need to actually be fulfilled, which is, at the end of the day, a healthy mindset. So guys, I hope that gave you some food for thought, and I shall chat to you next time.